Okay, so Bosa said, I figured that since this is right before Rosh Hashanah, so it would be important to speak about a topic which really is long overdue that should be spoken about in yeshiva, and hopefully this won't be the only time. Hopefully I'd like to put together some sort of vad on this topic, and that is the inyan of tefillah. Okay, tefillah, the Chazal say, is from the Dvarim Ha'omdim Beruma Shel Olam, that this is one of the most incredible things in the world, that it's in the highest point of the ruchniyistic world. Upnei Adam Mezalzalin Behem, the Gemara says, but people are mezalzal, people do not take seriously tefillah, as we find, especially in our times, that people have very difficult connecting to the tefillahs, and even saying them, and I'm not 100% sure what all the... I think I know some of the reasons, but I probably don't know all the reasons. But it's really, it's something that I think everyone, certainly myself included, need chizuk in. So, but especially because we're in the days before Rosh Hashanah, so on the Yom HaNoram, tefillah is paramount. Davening is that's the number one thing. In fact, you know, a person who learns in yeshiva can't say, well, why should I spend so long in Rosh Hashanah davening? It's Bittul Torah. I'll daven very bekitzer and I'll sit and learn the rest of the day. So the answer to that is that's not the way it works. That on certain days of the year, tefillah is, especially on these days, tefillah is the number one thing, and that takes precedence over everything else. So we have coming up, the Yemei Tefillah, and the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the Gemara says that, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk that says, Mi Hashem Elokeinu v'chol kareinu elav, who is like Hashem, who listens to us whenever we turn to Him. So the Gemara asks that how could that be? It is another Pasuk that says, Dirshu Hashem behimatzo, that you should seek out Hashem when He is to be found, which implies that Hashem is not always to be found, Hashem doesn't always hear it, right? So what does that mean? What does it mean, b'chol kareinu elav? So the Gemara says that the Pasuk, Dirshu Hashem behimatzo, that seek out Hashem when He is to be found, that refers to Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And because Aseres Yemei Tshuva is Eis Ratzon, that's a particular time of tefillah, it's a particular time the person should daven, and therefore that's special more so than the rest of the year. It's a special Eis Ratzon. As far as the rest of the year goes, so the Gemara says that the rest of the year is not that way, unless a person davens with a minyan. If he davens with a minyan, so then we have the fulfillment of the pasuk of b'chol kareinu elav. A person davens with a minyan, so then Hashem also is never mezalzel in the tefillah of a minyan. Is tefillah b'tzibur, but when it comes to yachid, it may not be with the same success. But during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, even the tefillah of a yachid is considered a special thing because of the special time that exists. So I just wanted. So I really think, and we've discussed this here in the yeshiva amongst the rebbeim for a number of years about what we could do about this, because it's gotten to the point. It's not just a problem here in the yeshiva; it's a problem really wherever you go, that people just are not machshav tefillah at all, and get frustrated by it, and almost like I can't wait to get out of there, and et cetera. And sometimes people skip davening with a minyan, and sometimes people skip davening period. And obviously this is not a good thing, because aside from the chiyuv to daven, but the bigger chaval is that davening is such an important thing. Davening is such an important thing. It could bring hatzlacha to a person more so than anything else. So I just wanted to, since we're coming to the Yemei Tefillah, I just wanted to bring out two points which we have here on the sheet, okay? The first thing is from the Sefer Chassidim, okay? In the Sefer Chassidim, he quotes a pasuk in Eov, and he says, Yesh Adam, okay, that's the top line, Yesh Adam she'eino zakai she'kabal ha'mokam tefiloso, that it could be there's a person who does not merit that Hashem should listen to his tefillah, ela bavur tokef tachnunim v'demoz einov, but because of the strength of his tefillah and the tears of his eyes, asher tamid bocho mischanin, that he constantly asks Hashem. So then, afal pi she'ein biyado schus u'maisim tovim, that even though this person has no schus, He doesn't have schusim, and he doesn't have maisim tovim. Nevertheless, mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu tfiloso va'osa cheftso. Nevertheless, Hashem will be mekabel his tefillah. It's an amazing thing. In other words, we always assume, and I think this is one of the things that impedes people from davening, is that people sometimes think, well, why would Hashem listen to me anyway? I'm not such a good guy, or whatever it is, I think I'm not such a good guy, right? So you see over here that the Sefer Chassidim says that you could have such a person who he has no schus, he doesn't have any, I don't know if it means doesn't have even a single schus, hard to imagine, but he doesn't have a significant schus. And he doesn't have ma'isim tovim, and yet Hashem will be mekabel his tefillos and do what he wants just because he keeps asking. Right? Like we would say, it's almost like, you know, like the expression that we have, like a nudge, you know, like he doesn't stop bothering me. But I don't think that's the pshat. That's the way people are, you know, and sometimes you can get worn down, you know, a person keeps coming after you, he asks you 100 times, so how many times can you say no already? But I don't think that's what he means. I think what he's saying is that stam, this is a skula in tefillah, that the amount of times that a person davens with real kavana. If a person davens with real kavana, meaning that he takes it seriously. He takes it seriously and he really pours, okay, that we're going to start crying when we daven. It's that people, not so common, that, you know, the people aren't so comfortable doing that, whatever it may be, but I don't think that's the tenai over here. In other words, the tokef tachnunov, the strength of the force of his tefillah, the fact that he keeps at it and he says it with sincerity and dedication, that a person could be zochet to anything. This is being said. The Sefer Chassidim is not one of the feel-good svarim, in case you're not familiar with it, right? There are certain svarim, you know, maybe you'll say, all right, so it's written in an upbeat manner, but the Sefer Chassidim is filled with a lot of chumras and a lot of things, that scary things, all kinds of things that I personally don't look into it more than I have to, usually, just because there's all kinds of scary things in there, right? But here, in this Sefer, it says clearly, as clear as the day, that you could have that exists such a mitzvah. So a person should not think that, I'm not going to listen to me anyway, why should I bother showing up? It's not true. It's not true. If a person keeps davening, right? We know Rashi says in Parshas Veschanan that the Moshe Rabbeinu said Veschanan el Hashem. It was a little bit of an unusual word when he was saying that he davened to Hashem. Previously in the Torah we found the word tefillah or something similar to that, right? And here you have Veschanan. So Rashi brings from the Medrash that Moshe said the amount of tefillahs kaminyan Veschanan, to the gematria of the word Veschanan is 515. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu said 515 tefillahs to Hashem, that Hashem should let him go into Eretz Yisrael. So, at the end of it all, right, so the psukim there in the beginning of Veschanan say that Hashem, that at that point, when Moshe said the 515th tefillahs, Hashem said to him, Al tosef daber elai od bedaver hazeh. Don't ask me again. Why don't ask me again? Because Rashi says, because if he would have asked one more time, he would have gotten it. And Hashem had a cheshbon that Moshe should not go into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore he said that no more, that's it. So what you see from this is the fact that it's shayach, that a person could, you know, a lot of times a person gets psyched out when he davens and says, well, if Hashem listens, so why didn't I get it? You know, especially in today's world of instant gratification where, you know, it wasn't enough that you had Amazon Prime, now you have Amazon Now, or whatever it's called, right, that you get it delivered and soon they'll move up another madrig, you get Toch Kedei Dibur, you know, as soon as you think of it, even before they'll hook it up to your brain, that even once you think of the idea, even before you even punch it into your computer, it'll be delivered to you, right? So when you live in such a world and you know, 1 hour dry cleaning and 7 days to a bed of vocabulary and you know, all these other things. So you know, you get used to the instant. If I don't get what I want right away, so then it's a waste of time. Right? That's the culture has hypnotized us into this mentality. Right? In other words, you have to get it right now. I need it and I need it now. Right? You go into a restaurant and you see there are 200 people sitting there, but the waiter doesn't bring out your food right away, so already the tip is batel mevutel, and then you write them a nasty note on the thing that maybe you should look for another job, and maybe they should close the restaurant, and maybe I'll report them to the IRS, and who knows what, because I had to wait another 5 minutes to get my food. So when you live in such a world, you have no patience. You have no patience. But when it comes to tefillah, so sometimes the person is zocha that Hashem will answer him right away. But sometimes not, but a person has to keep davening. A person has to keep davening, but it should not be interpreted that it's a waste. It's not a waste of time. If you keep it up, if you keep going, with what the Sefer Chassidim is saying over here, if a person does it, betokef, if a person does it with sincerity, Hashem will listen to him, even if he doesn't have the schusim. So I heard once, there's an Adam Gadol in B'nai Brak, who Baruch Hashem, I have a kesher with, Rav Yitzchak Ruzinsky, who is the son of one of the great Gedolim from Slabodka, Avram Grudzinski Zatzal, who was the last Mashkiach in the Slabodka Yeshiva before it was destroyed by the Nazis. So he said that he survived the war, he got out of Europe, did not have to endure the concentration camps, he escaped from Europe, and he came to Eretz Yisrael. He's been living in Eretz Yisrael, he's been living in Eretz Yisrael for, I don't know, 60 years. So he knew the very, and he's been living in B'nai Brak all these years, so he knew the Stipler very well, and he knew the Chazon Ish very well. So he was telling me, he told me this more than once, that he knows for a fact, the Stipler, the Mechaber, Kilos Yaakov, who in my time, I'm sure Reuben remembers, you know, he was one of the Gedolim, but today he's Reb Chaim Kanievsky's father. You know, back in the day, the Stipler, you didn't have to say anything more. Today, he's already passed away almost 30 years ago, so people may not be, you know, that doesn't ring a bell. The Svarim ring a bell, but so he's Reb Chaim Kanievsky's father. So anyway, he was a tzaddik and one, mamish one of the Gedolei Ador in the previous generation, even amongst the great Gedolim of that time. So he said that he knows for a fact that the Stipler used to daven every day Shemoneh Esrei and cry for his son Chaim to be a Talmud Chacham, for his son Reb Chaim Kanievsky to be a Talmud Chacham. And he said to me that he did this until Reb Chaim Kanievsky was 50 years old, 50 years old. Okay, that he would still daven. He would still daven every day. And he said, you could see he had tears coming out of his eyes. And he was crying, my son should be a Talmud Chacham, my son should be, right? So Lamaisa, Baruch Shem's tefillah was answered. But he obviously invested a tremendous amount. So on the one hand, you know, a person has to realize that it may not be the second you ask for it that you'll get it. But on the other hand, if you stay with it, so the tokef tachnunim, the power of a person's tefillah, and he didn't have to wait till he was 50. The point he was trying to bring out to me was that even when he was a big Talmud Chacham, when he was 30, but he didn't feel it was safe. Like he felt I have to keep davening for him. Like you never know, a person, things could happen. You know, when he was 50, he already felt, okay, things are pretty much working out. So Lamaisa, this is an amazing thing, but the point being that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, so the davening is long, there's no question, and for those who are davening yeshiva for the first time, so the davening is long, it doesn't take longer to daven here in yeshiva start to finish than it takes in a shul, but the difference is that it takes the yeshiva the same amount of time as it takes in a shul, despite the fact that the yeshiva skips half the machzor. In other words, the fact that so many things get skipped, and yet it takes the same amount of time. Why? Because the Shemoneh Esrei, daven yeshiva, is a very long Shemoneh Esrei. In a shul, it's on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, so the Shemoneh Esrei, okay, longer than usual, but maybe it would be 10 minutes, you know, probably not even Shachris, the Mincha, but maybe Musaf would be 10 minutes, maybe even 15 minutes. But in yeshiva, you daven longer. So a person could get frustrated by this, and a person could say, so what's the, you know, what, come on, no one's saying you have to say Shemoneh Esrei for half an hour. But the point is that on the Yom HaNarom, it's very important not to, it's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for a person to daven. And tefillos get answered. And tefillos get answered even if a person thinks that I have no schusim, so what's going to help that I should daven? But if a person davens fervently, if a person puts his effort into it, then Hashem will listen to him. The next thing I want to bring out on this area, I saw this in the Sifsei Chaim, also a teretz to a basic question that people have, which is that he brings the question that why, you know, you learn a little bit the Shaar Bitachon, so a person is, you learn the Shaar Bitachon, that Hashem does for every person, out of Rachmanis, what's the best thing for that person? Whatever is the best thing for that person, Hashem will do. So, okay, the question then presents itself, so then why should I daven at all? In other words, if Hashem is going to do the best thing for me, so then why should I daven? And especially, why should a person daven that something should change in his life, which oftentimes is what a person is mispower for? This should get better, this should change, this should work out in a nicer way, right? Why? If you go with the attitude that Hashem is doing the best thing for me, so then let it be, let it go. What are you getting involved? So he says like this. So if you read it here in the paragraph, he says, "Madul anu mispalu mevakshim Hashem yisbarach sheigzur aleinu gzeres tovos afa bishagam kasher lo nevakish davar kol masha kadosh baruch osel anu atovos varos rakul tovosenu." Right, everything Hashem does is for a person's benefit. So then, what are you daven for? V'mkein lo anu mevakshim Hashem yisbarach yaseh es masha nira beinenu tov. Right. Why should you know? So I think this would be better, but if a person's davening that something, you know, I like it better this way. But Hashem obviously feels not like that. So what you, there's a machlokus between you and Hashem, which way is better? In other words, Hashem wants it should be that way, and he's doing it out of rachamim. So that means that's the best thing. So a person says, but in my limited vision, it seems to me not like that. So it sounds almost foolish. So why would you say it's feel like that? It sounds like a ridiculous thing. And then he says, and further, even in Matsaris Latova Hem Latova Senu, Madua Yishana Kodesh Baruch was like Zera Beglau Bakash Senu. And then he says, and then he has another question, which is that if even a bad thing is good for a person, right, somehow, we don't always appreciate or understand how that is, but if that is true, so then why should Hashem change it just because you think otherwise? So listen to this. He says, Ella, in the second paragraph, he says, "Mipnei shematoras hatfilu of abakoshes, he lahakir shekol habriya b'chlav etzem tziyaseinu v'chol tzachenu b'frat, hinam b'yad Hashem yisparach." He says that the major point of davening is that a person should recognize that everything that happens comes from Hashem. And Hashem is mechadish u'mahava osam b'chol rega, that everything that happens is because Hashem is making it happen constantly. So he says, "V'kasher nargish kach," that if a person really feels that way, so then this batel klapov v'niskar avel of yisparach. So a person will become closer to Hashem. And so a person realizes, a person davens. So if you ever stop to think, what am I doing? Why am I davening? Because everything comes beyond Hashem. So if a person took that to heart and took that seriously, so then he would realize that, okay, so then I'm nothing. It breaks a person's gaiva, or as a person, he realizes that everything, it all comes from Hashem. So he says, ubischar ha-kara hazu. So as a reward for this great recognition, ukidelu ezreinu leschazik b'emunoseinu, in order that, as a chizuk to a person, that in order to strengthen his emuna, so then Yemale Hashem Mishaloseinu Kashemiluyan Hilutovoseinu, right? So then Hashem will fulfill our tefillos if in some way it's for our benefit. Elosharaka Yidat Tfila Anuruyum Lakabwam. But it's only through the tefila that a person could be roy. In other words, I believe what he means to say is that, in other words, the act of davening in itself is a tremendous activity of growth in Yiras Shamayim. Because a person who davens, so if you're serious about the davening, if you think about what's happening, so it makes you a bigger Yiras Shamayim because you have a greater recognition. It comes from Hashem. As a person sincerely, feels that, so then he grows in his Yiras Shamayim. So as a reward for that, says the Sifsei Chaim, as a reward for that, Hashem will answer his tefillahs. In other words, because it's important that Hashem should answer his tefillah, because that's mechazik them. And now he sees, he asks Hashem, and the taka works out. So therefore, there's a special inyan when it comes to davening. So there are certain things that if a person is not, the tefillah itself is a tremendous schus for a person. And there are certain things that he'll only get if he's misfowl. Why? Not because stam, you have to, it's like a formality, like if to fill out an application, you know, it's a sort of bureaucracy, you have to go through certain channels in order to get what you want. It's not that. But rather, it's because of the fact that if a person davens, so he grows in Yerushalayim. And the reward for that growth in Yerushalayim, it's mechazik his amuni. It develops a relationship with Hashem. So Mimela, as a reward for that, Hashem will answer him. What's that?
Is that the best thing for him?
So in other words, if it's not the best thing for him, sometimes Hashem wouldn't answer his tefillah anyway, despite the great schus. But if it's good for him, let's say that there was more than one way. Right? In other words, what I think he's saying is, in other words, has an answer is kasha. I think that what he's saying is, first of all, there are certain things that really the best thing is not what Hashem is doing. The best thing you'll get if you're misfowl. In other words, Hashem is doing the best thing for you according to your madrega. But if you davened, you'd be on a greater madrega, and then you'd be zocha to greater things. So therefore, it's not that the person is saying that I know better than you, Hashem, what's good for me. Because no, I'm not saying that. Because on the madrega that I am now, what you're doing is good for me. But if a person davens, he's on a greater madrega. So once he's on the greater madrega, now he's roy. Now everything's different. In other words, the act of davening brings a person to a higher madrega. But this is only something that's attainable if a person takes it seriously. And you know, we live, like I said before, we live in very difficult times. This is a worldwide problem. And all over Klal Yisrael now, everybody is wondering, where did we go wrong? How come people don't daven? How come people are not interested in davening? And it's hard to know, but I'm not attempting to give answers to that question. But what I'm saying is that when we have days of tefillah coming, so it's kedai, whatever bad habits we may have, to try to put it aside and push ourselves to daven a little more, because tefillah is an unbelievable thing. It's this type of thing that a person could be zocha to things that he wasn't zocha without it. He would never have gotten it had he not davened. Because why? So he's saying, sifsechayim, because when he davens, he becomes a greater person. He becomes a greater person. So Mamela, now he's Zocha, it's a greater thing. Now, it's a tremendous growth. It's a tremendous growth in a person. But that, together with the Sefer Hasidim, so is I think two thoughts that a person should keep in mind. And as everybody has going into Rosh Hashanah, the truth is anybody has on any day, you know, lots of things that need to go right. You see in the world tsaras that happen with things that are totally unexpected. Nobody dreamt of things like that happening in the past year in the Klal Yisrael. Just the other day was a terrible story. And over the course of this past year that's ending, the year Tavshin Ayin Hay was not exactly a banner year for the Klal Yisrael in terms of, we forget already, but the whole Maisel at Harnof was it's already a long time ago, but it was in this year, and that Nebuch, that family in Flatbush with the fire and so on. All of those things came completely out of the blue, right? They all came completely out of the blue, which I think you see from that is that you really can't take anything for granted. See, one of the great things that holds a person back from davening is because you don't really know what to daven for, because you pretty much everyone feels that they can predict what's going to happen, more or less. In other words, yeah, okay, today something special is going on, so today I need to daven. Today I have a test, today I have an interview for a job, today I have a doctor's appointment that I may be concerned about. So, okay, so those situations, a person feels the need to daven. But Baruch Hashem, we don't have those things so often. So therefore, a lot of times, a person doesn't see any need at all. Like, so what's tam that I should live till tomorrow? I have to daven for that. And, okay, I'm not saying that we have to worry about that, everyone should become paranoid, but a person does need siyata d'shmaya on a constant basis, because anything could go wrong. There are a million things in the world that could go wrong if a person doesn't have siyata d'shmaya. If a person does not have siyata d'shmaya, there's no telling it. We all experience that from time to time, some on a limited basis, where sometimes you have a really bad day where just everything goes wrong. Right, you wake up in the morning and you fell, and then you're driving and you got a ticket, and then the next thing, you know, some other crazy, your cell phone got shut off, you know, whatever it was, you forgot to pay the bill, or, you know, all kinds of, these are all things that happen to me. So I'm just saying, in other words, if you know, when things like that, and things like that happen, so as much as it's annoying and you end up muttering a lot under your breath, but the emes is that it has to be viewed as a reminder that anything, you can't, Baruch Hashem, things go right most of the time, so that's because we have siyata d'shmaya. That's because Hashem helps us. But a person can't take that for granted. A person can't take that for granted. And therefore, a person really has to try very much to sensitize themselves a little bit to this. You know, the next, I hope nothing ever goes wrong by anybody ever again. But if it does, so it, with all the annoyance and nuisance and cursing and whatever else, you know, a little bit, you have to say to yourself that, but Baruch Hashem, this doesn't happen so often. So, and it could. It could. The craziest things can happen. So it doesn't happen. So we're fortunate that it doesn't happen. But a person, you can't just take that for granted. A little bit, you have to try to work on ourselves to realize that okay, we have a lot of siyata d'shmaya. You know, you were rushing to make the plane at the airport and you got it, and you know, another 2 minutes you would have missed it, or whatever it is. That's a real siyata d'shmaya. That's a big thing. And, what's that? Yeah, it happens. It happens to Baruch Hashem. A lot of us. That's a good. A lot of these things happen. But when it happens, so what do you say? Oh, great. You know, maybe you'll text somebody that just happened, and then it's over 5 minutes later. But a person has to appreciate. So, Lamaisa, I'm just saying, this is leading up to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Narom. These are things that a person should try very hard. In the Seres Yimei Tshuva, a person should not miss any minyanim. You know what I'm saying? It a chaval person should sleep through, or even a Rosh Hashanah. You know, you say, why do I have to come? You know, they'll be davening for 5 hours anyway, so I'll make an appearance. You know, the yeshiva starts davening at 7:30. I don't scare anybody, but the yeshiva starts davening at 7:30. All right, so if I show up at 8:30, that's pretty good. I'm still there for most of, I'll be there for 80%. That's pretty good, right? But if you show up at 8:30, you'll miss tefillah b'tzibur of Shachris, and you know, these are not the days to do that. Not because, oh my gosh, it's a terrible avera to do that, but because it's a terrible missed opportunity. It's such an opportunity that a person has. I just want to end, the other things maybe we'll talk about another time, I just want to say, as I gave Shmuz in high school this morning, I just say, repeat one thing, which I hold to be very true. The Sutton is famous for creating all kinds of things in people's minds, and you know, Maisa Sutton, the person makes a big mistake or whatever it is, this, that, and the other thing. One of the greatest Maisa Suttons that exists in the world, and it's probably in the top five of all the Maisa Suttons in the world, in my opinion, is the attitude that people have towards the Yom Narom. The attitude that people have the Yom Narom that, oh my gosh, wake me up when this is over. Right? That I don't want to know about it. Let's get through this as quickly as possible. Oh, it's Rosh Hashanah. Oh, then it's going to be Yom Kippur. It's annoying. It's this. It's that. People get stressed and don't want to think about it. So, you know, you start buying a srogim already from Erev Rosh Hashanah. You know, so you preoccupy your whole time with that. The point is that the Yemei Yom HaNarom are called Yemei HaRachamim. They call the Yemei Rachman. Those are days of Rachman. So that a person should go with the attitude that, you know, I can't wait till this is over. That's pathetic. We all do it. But it's pathetic because that's not the way it's supposed to be. If it's Yemei Rachman, if I care, this is a very good time. This is a very, very good time. This is a time of the year. The person could die. A person could daven. His tefillos will be answered in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva much better than they'll be answered the rest of the year. So on a different day when he's all relaxed, you know, and he's on vacation and he's standing Shemon Esrei and he will Yishuv Adas and think, oh, today I davened well. Davened Aseres Yimei Tshuva, it's every tefillah, every single tefillah is Dirshu Hashem B'Matzo. That's every single tefillah. You got the direct line. You got the direct line. So why should a person miss up on opportunity like that? But the reason why people do is because they just find the whole experience just whatever. It's just, I don't know what the word is, but it's a negative word. Whatever the word is, it's a negative word that people have the attitude towards these days. This is a tremendous Maisa Sutton. Absolutely from the most astonishing Maisa Suttons that exist in the world. How year after year a person is happy. It always amazes me when they blow the shofar to end Yom Kippur. Everybody's happy. What are you happy about? Why? If I care, that's the time to cry. Wait, now that's it. It's over. You had not because you missed out, but because the sale just ended. The sale just ended. Why were you happy when the sale ended? When Black Friday ends, that's when everybody's happy. That your father pays the bill is happy. But you, when the calls man, you're in the store and there's still the sale. So it's gewaldic, right? That's fantastic. But yet, it's like an amazing thing. So the official reason is because everyone is batuach, that Hashem accepted the tefillahs. Fine. But is ever hargosha that chaval? This whole week I was able to daven, I got the direct line. Now there's static in the line. Now when I pick up the phone to call, there's static, and the call may get dropped. You know, and this whole time, from Rosh Hashanah till now, I was getting through every time. I was getting through every time. Everything I said was direct line to Hashem. Direct. So it's like an amazing mentality that we have, but I think it reflects the fact that in general, it's true that on the one hand, Yemei Adin, you have to take it seriously. Yom HaNorah means the awesome, the word Nora means awesome, right? The awesome day. So, okay, it's true. It's a Memela, it's going to be a little more, you know, a little more draining than other days. But these are not the days that the person should have the attitude, I can't wait till it's over. If anything, in a certain sense, a person should have an attitude, I can't wait till it starts. Because this is great, this is Givaldi, here's my chance. You start to put things new into motion for the new year, a few tikkunim, whatever it may be, to try to start again. You know, if the Rambam says in the Marin Avuchim, the Rambam says that if you didn't have tshuva, we'd all be lost because of the fact that every person would do averus, and then he would just feel that there's no hope for me. There's no hope for me. So I'll just keep, I might as well, I'm a loser. So there's no hope, which happens to be what most of the goyim in the street think about themselves, right? The reason why, if you see today people acting with tremendous p'chisus, with tremendous, just low and despicable, it's nauseating. I mean, you see people, it's like embarrassing. It's painful in some cases to even look at the person. They're walking around with such bizayin, right? So why would any person want to do that? So part of the answer, not the whole answer, but part of the answer is because of the fact that the person thinks to themselves that, well, what am I? What am I? I have no hope. I'll never be anything. I'll never be famous. I'll never be rich. I'll never be this. I'll never be that. So I might as well just live like an animal. Right? But and in a certain sense, if a person is sensitized to his Yirah Shamayim and he knew that he did things wrong, which every single person does things wrong, so then you would say, so then there's no hope. So there's no hope. So what? I might as well just be. I'll be a derelict. I'll be a drunk like all these other chevra. I'll learn from them. I'll get on drugs. I'll live a life of a depraved life because anyway, there's no hope for me, right? So the Rambam says that the reason why it's a mitzvah of tshuva is because that the world revolves around that. That if that's the hope for mankind, the hope for mankind is that you could change things. That's so good. So whatever I did, but now it's different. So now it's different. So now I can try and get out of it. Then I can get out of it. And if I sincerely get out of it, the whole thing is wiped away. So this is the time that is coming to us. We should try to make it count. We should try to make it count. It's starting already from, you know, over Shabbos and going into Rosh Hashanah. Every Rosh Hashanah, a person should say, okay, you know, there's no Seder here in the Yeshiva every Rosh Hashanah, but at the same time, a person should try a little bit a little Musar, a little contemplation, reflection, what was the past year, how did things work out for me over the past year, what are my hopes for the coming year, what are certain things I think I could really do better in the coming year. That's the instant way that a person should spend that. And if a person does that and he motivates himself and mobilizes koiches and davens just comes to the minyanim and davens like a mensch, there's no telling what could happen. And in Mitzvah Shem, we should all be zochet to that.